And now, nationally recognized financial experts Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain Advisors. It's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain.
Glad you are with us today, both myself and my co-host. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planners, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, and we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And you may be someone who's listened to the program for the last couple decades from Northern California, or you may be a relatively newer listener in Southern California or Denver.
Yes.
And we're glad you are with us on this program. And just because we're financial advisors does not mean it's a boring financial program, because our objective here is to help you make some wise choices with your money. We take a little bit of brevity and levity with...
It's a serious subject, but it's boring as heck. It's quite frankly.
What's boring?
Financial planning's boring. You talk about... It is. You talk about taxes and IRA rollover strategies. It's just plain on flat boring.
Well, we understand most people don't find tremendous excitement in looking at finances.
That's correct.
Yeah, most people do not.
It's very, but it can be very challenging for the average consumer, because they can't tell good from bad or right from wrong.
Consumer.
The consumer.
The individual, you mean family.
Yes. And the people that are presenting plans oftentimes, quite frankly, just don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know, the challenge in our industry, for the financial advice industry, if I wanted to hire a CPA, and I went to one of the big, what are there, three or four firms left?
Three left.
Well, I went to the big eight. Went to one of the big three. Whether I was in San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York or Chicago, or it doesn't really matter, if I hired a CPA, I would know that the CPA had a certain
licensing.
I know they would follow a certain sort of pattern.
Ethical standards.
Right. And I would have a very similar experience and result whether I was with that accountant in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York,
Denver,
Chicago, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
It wouldn't matter, right?
In our industry, within
the legal profession.
They're lawyers, right?
They do the same thing. They'd have a certain process. I would expect a certain outcome with that certain attorney. Our industry is very different.
Yes, extremely.
You look at the big brokerage firms, the big banks. They're all owned by banks now. They have a whole army. They call themselves financial advisors. Frankly, they are, most for the most part, commissioned salespeople. They are salespeople.
Yes.
They get compensated to sell products and services to individuals. Okay? Now, there's some good ones there. We're not saying they're all bad. I'm just, this is how.
But Scott, even in the banks, it's probably the worst place. A perfect example. Our chief technology officer comes in my office the other day and says, hey, you know, I was going through my mom's financial stuff with her. She's in her mid-70s. She had this annuity that she bought at the bank because the teller said you should go talk to that person over there.
Very common.
It's got a 7-year surrender charge on it.
70s. You can touch your money in 7 years.
That was the question. That was what they wanted to know is, he wanted to know, is that allowed to sell someone? It was a 10-year surrender. Are they allowed to sell someone in their 70s as 10-year surrender? I said, yes, they are allowed. Was it appropriate? It's not.
So here's the thing. You're watching the golf tournament. You see an advertisement for one of the big brokerage firms, right? You're watching Super Bowl, right? You'll see ads for the big brokerage firms, maybe on the Super Bowl, maybe not. But you know what I'm talking about, the big banks. Well, depending on the advisor or financial broker you're working with in San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York, it could all be very different.
A completely different experience.
Completely different experience.
The advice
can be completely different.
How they charge?
One might say, we think you should refinance your mortgage, take out a big mortgage, and we're going to put you in this investment product. The next person say, I want you to take the money out of their investments, pay off this mortgage. One's going to say, put all your money in master limited partnerships because I think they're the place to be. The other one says, no, I think exchange-traded notes are a better place. The other one says, no, EFTs. You're going to have completely different experiences on this.
Correct.
So one of our objectives in this program has come to you each week is to help give you some our basic level of understanding of our process, the industry's process, to arm you so that when you're working with a financial advisor, whether it be at one of the big brokerage firms or a local independent advisor, that you have some understanding of which questions you should ask, which things you should be wary of. And frankly, we've been in this business for 25 years. One of my dreams, frankly, in the next 20 years is to help this industry grow to the point in 20 years down the road, when it's my retirement time,
yeah,
that there'll be national firms in our industry where, you know, regardless of what city you go into, regardless of what
the experience
advisor,
will be the same.
The experience will be the same.
Yeah. Which is part of the reasons, and you'll hear us talk about our 7 personal decision points. That's the process we use. And part of the reasons we use it is it gets to the salient points almost immediately. And it's the 7 things that clients should worry the most about. And it's a track that all our advisors use. It's how we store the data. It's how we come back and visit with our clients on an ongoing basis.
It's a really simple process people go through when it's a transition time, retirement transition.
But the reason we do that is so that the process has some uniformity across the organization. And you're not going to get that at most firms.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting.
And I didn't mean to go into a plug for our process, but...
But you did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. It is my radio show. I apologize.
And we're in our little nifty new studios here in Northern California.
Yeah. We've been broadcasting here for about a month.
A couple of weeks now.
You like it?
Beginning of the year. The air conditioning's nice.
It is, actually.
There's no windows outside, but...
You know what I found the most interesting part of it? When they were soundproofing, they used denim. Did you know that? They used denim fabric in the walls for soundproofing.
Better not try to go into any country clubs. They'll get kicked out. No denim allowed.
No denim. Yeah, I'm a big country club guy. Come on.
But I chatted with my wife briefly before I walked in here today, and she says a little bit of an upgrade from the video you did. We do quite a bit of video stuff, too, for both on our website at moneymatters.com. You can see some video where we explain things and we talk about different things and market updates. We do that stuff on our website at moneymatters.com. But we also do videos for communication internally. We've got a number of different offices. We've got many employees, many different advisors, and so we'll do a video. So I did a video earlier the week, and I was talking to my wife, and she says, a big upgrade from the video you did in our living room 18 years ago.
Really?
She reminded me. I was in, and I had to kind of be quiet because I did it from home and I had little kids asleep.
What were you doing?
Nap time. I was doing some sort of intro video for employees.
I hate calling your house because you got that yappy little dog.
Hey, Rex.
It's just a yappy little thing. And we're trying to talk to Scott in the background. This little yappy thing. It's obnoxious.
And if you've listened to the show long enough, you might have heard Rex before, because for a while we were doing things remotely and we tried from my house for a couple of Sundays. But the dog would bark. But you know what? I did not want a dog. Growing up, I did not.
Okay.
We had dogs growing up, and then I didn't want a dog. I had kids. I was like, I don't need another thing. And I was 2 kids and a wife. I was outnumbered. We ended up with a dog. We got Rex like 10 years ago.
It's like, okay, now keep going.
And at first, I didn't like it. He was okay. He's good. Whatever. But when my kids entered the teens, you know, when they're little, I'd drive in the garage. They'd be all happy. I'd open the door. Daddy, they'd all come running, super happy, and everyone's happy to see me.
Yeah, not now.
No, yeah, the teenagers, they run from you. It's like here's the garage door. They run the other direction. But Rex
always
runs to me
and happy to see me. That's touching. It's a touching story.
I have sensed some sarcasm.
Bothersome little animal. That's what that is. Bothersome.
My dog.
Yes.
I like my dog.
Later on,
And you'll notice, by the way, this program we talk about many times.
All right, so it's a financial planning. We got a little bit off topic.
Yeah.
It's a financial planning show. We answer your questions.
That's right.
You call in. You propose a question. You say, hey, someone's pitching me this, or I've got this issue, or I left my job, or...
And to join, actually, if you have a question for us, we'd love to take your call. Well, we might love to take it. If it's a good call, we'd love to take it. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. I talked to my son's taking. I don't want to disclose too much who this person is, so I'm going to forget about it for a minute.
Just get on with the story. Holy smoke. You know, these people are busy.
I talked to this woman this week, friend of a friend. Hey, I've got so this person calls me. And they worked for a school district, and they were concerned that they'd been losing money, so they went to meet with their financial advisor, and so obviously they didn't get very good results with the financial advisor, because they had the conversation with me. They said, look, she says, I've been losing money for the last, like, 6 or 7 months. So I went to meet with my financial advisor, and the annuity that I am in says it's up for maturity in May.
No such thing, by the way.
This woman's in her
late. Annuities do not mature. If you go to our website, moneymatters.com, you can view the webinar called Why Everyone Wants to Sell You an Annuity and We Don't.
Yeah, moneymatters.com. There's a shameless plug. But it's an educational thing. But so I'm talking to her, and so her advisor, quote unquote advisor, said, well, either said we can have you surrender out now and pay a penalty, or we can just wait till May. And so they talked about what's the best investment option between now and May. And I'm talking to this poor lady.
Like they know?
Well, I said, your investment horizon is not May. You're not spending your money in May. You've got 15 years to go before you need these dollars, right? And it's just, I felt so bad for this person because she was sold some annuity.
More than once, by the way.
She had more than one annuity, yes. And she was concerned about the markets. Instead of the advisor having a decent, I said, look, are you concerned about what your account's going to be worth in 6 months from now or in 16 years when you need it? 16 years. I said, well, and for any listeners that have equities, obviously it's been a rocky market. No one likes going
through
this.
You're not happy with it.
No one likes the markets going down.
But unless your time horizon is next week.
The question is, if you don't need those dollars for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, what gives you the highest probability of confidence of the most amount of return 5 years from now?
Not today.
10 years from now, 15 years.
If your
it's
home,
not what your account's going to be worth tomorrow.
If your home was priced every day, you'd think it was the worst investment in the world.
Well, depending on how it's going.
Right? But your home isn't priced every day. You buy a home, you're in it for a long period of time, most people, right? So over a 15, 20, 30-year period, your home, it turned out okay. Yeah. But if you got a statement every day that told you what it was worth, you'd think, this is terrible. You're probably. Why would anyone do this?
Anyway, watch out for people who are trying to sell you things.
And it's annuities just do not mature.
God, I was so frustrated. I felt sorry for this lady.
Yeah.
I did. I felt sorry
for her. You told her not to talk to the guy?
Well, she was at her wit's end. She came, she's begging her friend, let me get a special call with Scott Hansen or something along those lines. Anyway, we're going to take a break here in a minute. We got a great program lined up. I do want to remind people, in Northern California, we have workshops, our 7 personal decision point workshops in Sacramento and then multiple locations in the Bay Area. Go to moneymatters.com and you can learn more about those workshops we have coming up. Moneymatters.com. We'll have some more and some webinars as well as the year goes on. But anyway, stick around for more Hanson McLean. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here.
Pat McLean.
Hope everyone's having a great weekend. This weekend?
Yes.
It is weekend time when you're listening to this radio program.
Some weekends I'm very conflicted. Because some weekends...
You're always conflicted. I've been working with you for almost 25 years.
I am always a little bit conflicted. Because some weekends, I just can't wait for Monday. And other weekends, you're just dreading Monday. I don't know why that is.
Well, it's just...
Maybe it has more to do with how the weekend went.
When I was younger, I used to really be anxious about Monday coming. Anxious in a good way. Excited, ready to get back to work. It's not so much like that.
No?
But when I get back to the office, although I took some time off over at the Christmas break.
How was that?
Driving into the office that Monday was not easy.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was warm where I was, and then I come back.
I actually came in, we didn't go out of town for Christmas break, so I actually came in a couple days over the Christmas.
When it's all quiet around the office? Right.
Yeah.
The one thing about our particular profession, it's not terribly busy around the holidays.
No, it's very, very.
Or the weekend, It's a 3-day weekend. It's not like doing retail where you're working hard.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was working hard.
Yeah. Well, anyway. We'll tell ourselves that.
Anyway,
if you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. Well, you can go to Money Matters.
Or numerically, that
what
number,
is the numerical
took my
number?
Page away.
I don't know.
Cat's trying to clean up the desk. That's Pat is neurotic when it comes to having things straightened up. If you walked into his office right now, you would think that nobody works there. There's no paper on the desk, no paper clips. There's nothing. It's like nope. And his house is the same way.
But the way I dress is not. Which is a weird thing.
I remember when I
part of that conflict.
I'd be over at your house and your wife would offer me a glass of water. I'd say great, and I'd drink it two sips. I'd put it down. And I'd be talking. I'd go. And the water's gone. It's like already in the dishwasher.
Yes.
And I haven't even finished it. Your house is like nobody.
Yes.
You vacuum like twice a day.
Yes. I don't. I do sometimes.
So my notes here that I had written down our phone number numerically.
Well,
Pat had grabbed the note and made a nice, neat stack of paper.
Part of it is that they film this radio show, so people, we cut out clips and we put them on our website.
Well, you don't want to work. People think that you're working when you have paper on your desk. It looks like you don't even work here.
Look, they cut out. They film the show. John Coyne does. He films it. He cuts it into bite-sized segments so that if you had a question, let's say, about a Roth IRA, you could go to our website. I don't need to explain it to you. You'll understand how it works.
Keep going. It sounds good.
So the reason I don't want paper all over the desk is I want it to look good for the camera.
But you're on the camera.
I am on the camera.
Well, then there goes that.
Also called eye candy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my.
Oh, my. Yeah. All right. So the
you
numerical
have a good
number.
Face for radio.
Thank
the
you.
Numerical number to join the program. If you can't figure out that you can actually spell on the phone, although I have trouble reading my eyesight's not what it was. Anyway, it's 888-242-6766.
I'm going to write that
join
down.
The program. And if we keep talking.
242-6766.
This is probably the kind of prep we should do before the radio program, not in the middle of the program.
8882 Hanson.
Because we're not going to have time to take any calls
weekend.
By the time we're done.
Anyway, all right, let's talk to Bob in Pacific Grove. Bob, thanks for joining Hanson McClain.
Yes, I have a question. I received my money, I'm retired, just retired, from my 401k, my Matatoid, and I don't know what to do with it. Either put it back on the stock market, pay a mortgage off of it, and I'm going to spend a good portion of it on a couple of trips.
Got it.
I don't know what to do with it.
Bob, how old are you?
I'm 76.
Okay, and what was the distributions? For the rest of the listeners, Bob has some money in an IRA or a 401k, and he has a required minimum distribution. How much was that required minimum distribution?
$18,000.
Okay, and how much of that are you going to spend for your trips?
Probably 8 to 9.
And how much do you owe in your house?
My house is free and clear. It's a rental property.
Oh.
I bought in Pacific Grove, paid $494, so it's over 6 years ago.
Okay, and what do you owe on it?
$150.
And what's the interest rate?
3.37.
That's a tough call.
Bob's laughing. I don't know. Go fish, Bob.
What are you calling us for?
I want help. Everything else I have is paid for.
So I would assume that your IRA is a well-diversified portfolio. Would that be a right assumption? You probably have some stock funds in there.
It's 3 to 5. It's a 3. Can I give you a name of the company where it's at?
Oh, that's all right. So how much money do you have in bank accounts?
50.
So there's one of two things I would do. One, you could either take, because you're going to have required minimum distributions keep coming every year, right? And they're going to get larger and larger. So you could say, I'm going to take these dollars and invest them quite similarly to the way my IRA has been invested, but focus on some tax efficiency. That's one option. The second option is to pay down that mortgage.
What's the third option?
Spend it.
Spend it.
I'm
right?
doing that.
Oh, no, but you're spending part of it.
That's another option.
So you're 76. Are you spending as much money as you want to? Do you feel like you need to reinvest these dollars?
No. Yes, I'm spending. I'm going to Burma this year. Then I go to, where the hell am I going? Kathmandu in October. So I got two big trips planned, and I take 3 trips, and I go skiing in the wintertime.
All right.
So you're doing everything you want to do. So let's say it's 9 or 10 grand left after the requirement is minimum distributions. Just buy a no-load I would just do like a total stock market fund on it. Now you'd say, well, that sounds aggressive for my age. But if you think of it in conjunction with your overall portfolio, even if you said, I'm going to reduce the risk in my overall IRA a tad to match up with it, then you haven't increased your risk at all. But what you've done is taken that money that's come to you and invested it in a tax efficient manner. If you don't like the sound of that, then I like the idea of just paying it against the mortgage.
Yeah, but the reality is, yeah, it sounds like you have a fairly good understanding of how this all works. When I said, made that comment, that's a tough question. The interest rate on this is so low. It's almost like you put it in the, and you say, well, long term, you're 76. So it could be 10, could be 15, could be 20 years. As long as you're comfortable with the risk, I don't see any problem with putting it in a total market low cost index fund at all.
That's what I would do.
That's what I have most of my money right now is in index
funds. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Buy yourself a new set of skis. There's some snow in those mountains.
My skis are only two years old.
All right. Well, see, you're ahead of us. Where do you like to?
I ski in the Tahoe area. I have a house up there.
Nice.
Good for you. Good for you.
Well, yeah. I'm going to be kind of rephrase that. My son has a house up there.
That's, you know.
I just pay the bills.
Good for you.
All right, Bob.
It's my son's house. I just pay the bills on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, okay.
All right. Appreciate the call.
I have to ask permission to use it.
Does he use it a lot more than you do?
Yes, he does. He lives more close to it than I do. He uses it every weekend.
Oh, is that right? Oh.
Well, that's nice.
That's pretty nice.
That's nice. Nice.
Okay.
Appreciate the call.
Wish you well.
Thank you very much for the information, Bob. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You betcha. Thanks, Bob. Glad you called.
Scott, wasn't it your dad that would always say you don't have to have nice stuff, you just have to have friends with nice stuff?
You don't need to be rich, just have rich friends.
That's what he would say?
I had a friend in high school, they had a gigantic yacht in Newport Beach. Like, massive yacht. Massive. And it was known as one of the most beautiful ships in the Newport Harbor.
Really?
Like, yeah.
50, 100?
Like 100. They had two full-time staff on it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was buddies with them, so I'd go out, would go to Catalina all the time. And then that little boat off the back, we'd take that off and go water ski. It was like living the dream.
And not someone else's dream.
Yeah, of course.
It was your dad. Your dad didn't have a yacht.
No, yeah. We didn't even have a dinghy. We didn't have
it. We had running water.
We lived in a 900 square foot house, you know, with one bathroom.
Yeah.
With the four.
Well, that's...
But he was a good friend of mine. And somehow... I don't know how I managed to let that relationship.
Did that slip?
Now I haven't talked to him in 30 years. I gotta.
You're gonna reignite. I'm sure he's still the great little teenager you knew.
Actually, I saw him on Facebook and didn't quite recognize him.
No,
not anyway. Quite the.
I tell you. So that's a. I had a. When you get to be in your 70s, in your 80s, sometimes it's just okay to spend the money. Sometimes it's just okay to spend the money.
If you've sometimes, got more than you are going to
but
enjoy.
He's doing that was what the question was, rather than answer his question, which is are you doing everything you want to do? And he is.
Well, it sounds like he's going to Burma.
Yeah. Somewhere else.
And he bought new skis and he's got a home in Tahoe
In Pacific Grove.
That's not a bad place either, right?
That works.
Monterey area.
That's very, very nice. Yeah. So if you'd like to join the show, 888-2 Hanson.
We just went through all that.
Oh, did we really?
The whole thing on the numerical.
Oh, I forgot.
Thing. Huh?
I forgot we did all that. Thank you.
But sometimes for required minimum distributions, people just have securities delivered. And a lot of time we were kind of joking around some with Bob. Oftentimes it makes sense to, if you've got it with a firm or your IRA, you can set up a non-qualified account, which
right
we do
there.
For a lot of our clients.
Right there.
Have the required minimum distribution just transferred over. Have the IRS and the tax man's portion sent there. And then over time, what happens, you end up building a second portfolio. That's just what you kind of forced to
do. And you want to build a tax-efficient portfolio as much as you can on that particular side of the...
Yeah.
If
you find that you're not spending all of your required minimum distribution, just have your advisor set up a separate account. Have it transferred over.
You don't even have to touch it. A check doesn't even come to you. It's all just done electronically.
Yep. And unfortunately, the IRS gets their share in the way. Anyway, we're taking a quick break to join the program again. 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Taking the financially complex and making it simple. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
On this weekend day, we're talking about financial matters.
Yeah.
There was a beginning of this year, and I hadn't even heard about this. There's a 529 plan called the 529 ABLE.
ABLE.
And you read about this as well.
I did.
And it's 529 plans designed for people with disabilities.
Yes.
And it's quite interesting because 529 plans for most of us are set up for educational, qualified education expenses. A 529 ABLE plan works very similar to the way a 529 plan works in the fact that money grows tax deferred, and if it's used for the qualified expenses, it's not any growth non-taxable. And qualified expenses for this, these are for people that are typically on SSI, on either Medi-Cal or Medicaid.
Yes.
And so these are people that have disabilities, significant disabilities where they're not working and they're on SSI. But it's a way for family members, primarily, to be able to put money into a plan
to
help with the additional expenses, housing expenses, transportation for to and from job. It's really a pretty interesting plan.
And
there are special needs trusts that you can create, but they tend to cost several thousand dollars. These are very inexpensive.
It's got limits where it doesn't start affecting that benefit, which was key.
Yes, that's exactly it. Because the problem is if you just give somebody who's on SSI a bunch of cash,
it may affect some of their state or federal benefits because it's included in their net worth.
And this doesn't.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people it actually would have.
I sit on the board for the Pride Industries Foundation. Industries is the largest employer of people with disabilities in the country. That 3,000 people with disabilities that are on their payroll. So, and oftentimes these people, they make some income, but they have additional expenses like transportation. They don't make quite enough, but.
And most of them are on some sort of aid.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
I thought it was a good idea.
Anyway, so if you or a family member has, look into the 529 ABLE.
And it doesn't matter how old the
recipient. And they're new plans, so you might have a hard time finding one, but they'll be more available within a year.
It doesn't matter how old the recipient is or the beneficiary of the 529
is. It's not for education expenses.
Correct.
Other expenses.
It could be for an adult, someone with disability.
Anyway, 888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of the program, 888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Cindy. Cindy, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Cindy.
My husband and I have retired early, partly spurred on by his ability to collect an early pension.
Okay.
And so my question is related to his pension options and whether the single life option might be the best choice for our circumstances rather than some of the survivor options.
Okay. So he hasn't chosen a pension yet.
Well, he has, but we have until the end of January, basically, to set it in stone,
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
It's a non-inflation. Okay. Well, he's 58, and I'm 53. This pension is non-adjusted for inflation.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a pretty large nest egg, actually, at least in relationship to our lifestyle.
Tell us about it.
What's the ballpark, then?
It's close to $3 million.
Okay.
And how large is his?
And our expense. Oh, okay. So the pension for a single life is $45,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a 2/3 survivor that's $39,000 a year, and then $26,000 for the survivor.
Okay.
And a 3/4 survivor that's like $38,600, and then almost $29,000 for the survivor.
And does it have a pop-up provision on it? I don't know if that matters, so we should get that far into the weeds. We won't get that far into the weeds. Okay, so it's either 45 or 39 with a $28,000 in survivor benefits. And you have approximately $3 million of investable assets. Does that include real estate?
No, our house is paid off.
So in other words,
and we have no debt.
You don't necessarily. You're not going to be despondent financially if he passed away early, right?
So you're looking at what's the
best financial decision. This is a purely financial decision.
So here's the numbers are all the same. So actuarially,
well, I don't know. Is the survivor benefit based upon your age, or is it just standard regardless if you were 53 or 63 or 33?
I think it's just standard. I'm not quite sure.
Because there's a 5-year exactly, age spread here.
Yeah.
That they're factoring in, it's probably this. They're probably factoring that she's 58.
Do they have a lump sum option on the pension?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
But there is a 4-year certain, I think is what they called it.
Yep.
So, like, if he were to get hit by a bus,
mm-hmm.
you know, between now and the 4th year, there was a certain, you know, amount that would go to the survivor, no matter what you pick.
Yeah. So, the,
or, I mean, if you pick a single life, I guess.
So, what are you leaning to do?
What I'm leaning to, I feel comfortable doing the survivor only just because it's not inflation adjusted.
I mean, the single life
and
only?
We're planning on the single life only. Well, all of them. None of them are adjusted COLA, you know, adjusted. Mm-hmm. And so I feel okay with it because I feel like, you know, we could allow our portfolio to even grow more. And for instance, if there's a downturn in the market early on, especially, we wouldn't have to go into our funds as much because our expenses are only about like $60,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if something happened and he passed away, your life's completely different anyway, and you have financial assets to continue forward.
How's his health?
Yeah. It's excellent. We're both real healthy.
And you've got a long lifeline in both sides of the family?
Pretty much, yeah. But I think it's more maybe average. I don't know, 88 to 90.
You know,
90.
It's a personal decision, right? Because I tell you what I would do, right? I would take the joint survivor. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do.
You mean if you were Cindy's husband in this situation?
Yes. I would take the joint survivor.
Why?
Just because you don't know. You just don't know. You don't know. And it's not going to change their lifestyle one way or the other. That's why. So what happens is...
Another option is you take the single life and you go out and buy some life insurance.
Some term life insurance for 10 or 15 years? I don't like that. I don't like that. If you had a lump sum option, you'd take the lump sum with their financial situation almost always.
Oh, yeah.
Because your net worth is high enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But from an actuarial standpoint, those numbers are the same in most pension plans. So unless you guys know the days you're going to die, you can't make a good decision because actuarially, if you look at the math,
those are only
the numbers are all the same. They're just averages, right? That's how they determine them. I mean, they didn't dream up this joint survivor. They actually looked at actuarially what would happen.
If you take the single life and your husband lives longer than a normal life expectancy, you made the right choice.
Shorter?
Then you made the wrong choice.
But the point being is that we're talking about a $6,000 spread, and they've got liquid net worth of $3 million. What is that, 0.2% on that?
A year.
A year.
Yeah. It's
insignificant. The $6,000
It's buying insurance. It's no different than buying life insurance.
Correct.
You're buying insurance on that pension.
But you're buying it with pre-tax. So you're not going to make – so, Cindy, at the end of the day, you're not going to make a bad decision, right? You've made great decisions. You didn't get here by mistake.
That's right.
Right? So when unless we knew the day you were going to die, and I can just tell you what I would do personally. I don't know what Scott would do, but if I was your husband, I would take the joint.
Well, I own life insurance on myself that I don't really need. In other words, if I died today, my wife would be fine without the life insurance.
Yes,
but I have the life insurance
because
I'm still working and I just.
So, Cindy,
feel better about it.
If you think you should take the single life, I know you called here hoping to get an answer, and you just walked away saying, "What a waste of time that was."
Well, we don't know the answer. We won't know until one of you passes away,
and then we can tell you whether it was a good decision or not. I know that either way you're gonna be fine.
If you needed the income, it'd be an easy.
If you needed the income,
you didn't have any other assets. It'd be simple.
It would absolutely be a joint survivor. If you actually needed the income. But that's why it doesn't really matter that much. You're talking about $6,000 a year on a $3 million, what you have is $3 million investable assets.
So Pat's point is, as a percentage of your overall net worth, it's worth ensuring that this will continue on through Cindy's life.
That's my point.
But it doesn't matter.
But it doesn't really matter.
But you can also say it doesn't matter because the fact is, the reality also, Cindy, let's face it. Should something happen to your husband, he passed away early, your retirement's different.
Yeah, it is.
Your life's different. I mean, right? That would just be very different than what you'd planned and hoped for and dreamed for. That's just the reality. Yeah. And you'd have to work through that. Mm-hmm. And you'd have plenty of assets to work through. So you can go either way on this.
So I hope that helped.
Sure.
We didn't give you an answer, did we? There's no right answer.
There's no right answer.
Do whatever makes you feel
now,
the best.
Now, and only because you have plenty of assets. If there weren't assets in the household, you almost always take a joint survivor if they're not, assuming everyone has a normal life expectancy. And it doesn't affect any of your other benefits. But my personal preference was take the joint survivor. Don't worry about it. Right?
It's not going to impact your life.
Because the difference of $6,000 a year on the joint survivor, the extra money you'll be giving up, is a percentage of the rate of return that you need to get on your $3 million is...
Anyway, we're up against the clock. Cindy, I hope that was some help anyway, at least get you thinking about this some more. But anyway, we've got to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it's retirement readiness or investment allocation, tax planning or IRA rollovers, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, two brains, and one head of hair.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Matt McLean.
Glad you're sticking with our program. At least we think you are. Or if you just joined us.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. By the way, if you're just joining us, we've been around doing this program for more than 20 years.
Yes.
But newer to many markets.
Yes.
Broadcasting out of Sacramento for over 20 years. Also in the Bay Area for less time than that.
San Francisco Bay Area.
And don't most people know what the Bay Area is?
There are many Bay Areas in the United States.
If I say the Windy City,
okay.
There are many Windy Cities.
The Big Apple? Bean Town?
I think Washington. Okay, exactly. All right, my point, exactly.
All right, you're right. You're right. You're right. So, again, he's right.
If you were in another area, Los Angeles, Basin, San Diego area, Denver metro area, and we are newer to you, and we're glad
you're thank you for joining us.
And you can, if you want to learn more about this program or to sign up for our newsletter, we've got a fantastic newsletter that comes out every Saturday morning. Good. It's all educational.
Well, why shouldn't they be the judge whether it's good or not?
No. I'm telling them it's good.
Okay.
If I want their opinion, I'll give it to them.
Okay.
Weekly newsletter. You can sign up for the newsletter at our website. You can also sign up for podcasts of this very radio program.
Delivered right to you.
Right to you. Just electronic.
Magic. Magic.
I can barely figure out. Yeah. Anyway, moneymatters.com. You can go and get all that stuff. And to join our show, if you question for us, want to be a live caller, it's 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON. And let's talk with Joan. Joan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Well, this is really like four questions in one. How long do you have to work to qualify for a Roth? And where do you go to apply for the Roth account? Can I put it in a trust?
Okay. So the first all...
deposited, and when opening an account, what's the maximum deposit? Can you transfer an IRA account to from a traditional IRA into a Roth? Are there penalties or tax ramifications?
All right, Joan, you got it going on.
He's got all the right questions.
These are good questions. So let's start from the beginning. Do you have a job?
No, I'm not working right now. I'm a nurse, though. Sometimes I work freelance and take patients overseas.
Great.
Okay.
So you can contribute up in a Roth IRA up to the maximum of $5,500, or if you're 50 and older, another $1,000 to $6,500. That's the maximum. Well, it's the greater of that number or whatever your wages, the lesser of or your wages. So if you worked and made $2,000 for the year, you could only contribute $2,000 to a Roth. If you made $200,000 in a year, you can contribute the maximum of $5,500 if you're under 50 years old, or $6,500 if you're 60 and 50 and above.
So that's the answer to one of the questions.
And how long it needs to be left in there. In order to avoid the taxes, the Roth IRA must be in existence for at least 5 years. So once you've hit the five-year point, you can take your withdrawals, and any gains are free from income taxes.
So the question,
assuming your normal retirement.
The second question you asked, I think I got all four of them here, was, can I convert money from a regular IRA to a Roth IRA? Yes, you can. You can convert as little, zero, or as
but
much.
You have to be working, do you not?
Not on a conversion, only on a deposit. So on a conversion means I have an existing IRA. Let's say you had a job years ago and you were a nurse, and you might have had a 403B that you were putting money into years ago, and you converted that to an IRA. And you can then can convert these pre-tax dollars in an IRA to a Roth IRA. And you can do as little or as much as you want. When you do that, you want to make sure that you're not driving yourself up into a higher marginal tax bracket. That was the second question. Let me see if I got them. I didn't write them all down. Third question is, where do you get these? You can get them almost anywhere. You could get them at a bank. Your insurance agent probably has some, right? Your credit union has them. You could get them at the supermarket. You know, they have those little banks at the supermarket. You can get them there. You can pick up a loaf of bread and a Roth. So...
I'll take bread, peanut butter, jelly, and a Roth.
And a Roth. Yeah. You can get them almost anywhere.
Can you
open it in the name of a trust?
Now, so you cannot. So that was the last question. So you can get it from investment firms. And what you want to do is make sure that remember, a Roth is a shell, an investment goes inside of it. So a Roth is a tax code. You can put bank CDs in a Roth. You could put stocks. You could put bonds. You could get
mutual funds. But her question on the trust. So it's a Roth IRA. IRA is individual retirement account. Individual is the key word here. So a trust cannot own an IRA, can't own a traditional IRA, can't own a Roth IRA, can't own a 401k for that matter. You can, however, have a trust as a beneficiary, but you really have a trust set up because a trust will dictate how your assets are to be distributed upon your death, and retirement accounts have beneficiaries, which will do the same thing that your trust
does. So, Joan, do you have an IRA now?
No.
Okay. So the only thing we're talking about is contributory IRAs, which is the money that you would actually put in from earned income.
Well, do you have a 401k?
No.
Okay. So you would put them in contributory IRAs. The second thing is, do you have a trust now?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any stipulations on your trust as to how the money would be doled out at your death? So is there like, hey, I'm going to send it to Billy and Margaret when they turn 60. Are there any stipulations, or they just name the beneficiaries of the trust and it goes directly to them?
I have six children.
Okay, so you have it divided six equally at your death on your trust. I'm guessing.
No, five. One is a priest.
Okay.
So we don't give him the money because the money goes to the church.
So she doesn't like him.
Wait a minute. Stop. You're killing me. So the one that decided to serve God.
That's the one she disinherited.
That's the one you didn't pay the money to. Is that right?
Do you find the irony? We're just kidding with you, Joan.
Joan, so the priest can actually obviously get the money as well, but you don't give it to him because he may have taken a vow of poverty and then it will go to the church. So we don't have to get too far into that. Although I have priestess clients, not all orders take vows of poverty. So
if I'm thinking about becoming a priest at age 50,
don't.
Although I'm married and kids, I don't know if they would accept me or not. But I could say I don't want the vow of poverty.
Okay, so you could say on the beneficiary form of the Roth IRA, I want this money divided equally among these five children and not have the money paid to the trust. It does exactly the same thing. The only time you would name the trust as a beneficiary, if there were some sort of stipulations on the trust as to how the dollars would be doled out at your death. And if they're not, why bother? Does that make sense?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Does this answer your questions?
Did we hit all four of them?
I think so, pretty much.
Okay. Any other questions for us?
I just wondered how long I have to work and how much do I have to make to open the account.
Just you could work one day.
Yeah.
So it's up. The maximum is $6,500, not to exceed $6,500.
Yeah.
So
I could go to work every year for one day?
No. You could only contribute the lesser of $6,500 or your wages. So if you only made, let's say, $100 for a day you worked, that's the maximum you can contribute.
All righty.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. Glad you called, Joan.
Thank you.
And by the way, there's for the rest of the listeners on our website, I write an article for Kiplinger's a couple times a month. Yeah. Kiplinger's. And I write some for CNBC periodically as well. But I wrote an article on calculating the tax bite when converting a 401k to a Roth. So if anyone's considering doing a conversion, I would highly encourage you to go to moneymatters.com. And if you just the search button, put Roth, it'll take you to that article as well as some other articles.
There's one, you wrote one for CNBC recently too, didn't you?
Yes, and for CNBC, I wrote one. And they might have some other video or something on Roth. And there might be some other radio clips that they can
on Roth.
On Roth.
Yeah. Hey, you know, so remember when they first came out, it was all the rage. All the rage in our industry, anyway. For us.
Wow.
For most people.
Yeah, like, so
wow.
That's
all the rage. I've been doing this job way too long.
I know. Yes. Everyone was super excited about it.
They were super excited. And there were lots of poor decisions that were made in terms of.
Well, because remember, people, they would let you do it all at once.
And then pay the taxes over 5 years.
You spread the taxable income over, it was 5 years, I think it was the first. And I remember we had a client, it was a very large IRA, and I highly discouraged him for doing it. He did the whole thing, massive amount, massive tax bill he paid on it. I was totally opposed to it at the time. He did it anyway.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah. Ross, the conversions may make sense.
They do at times. There's no question.
But normally, you've got to do your homework first to figure out where it's pushing you into a higher marginal tax rate or not. And what your required minimum distribution looks like.
So some priests have a vow of poverty and some do not.
Correct. Depending upon the order.
So does that weigh in someone's decision when they decide to become a priest?
I haven't been really involved that much, but I have a lot of priests I'd call my friends. And some.
You're Irish Catholic, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, don't you understand how it all works?
I wasn't walking with them through their formation when they're like, okay, hey, Joe, before you join this order, you got to check out the vow of poverty. Some do, some don't.
Oh.
And actually, there's some very, very wealthy orders. Very wealthy.
I know.
Very wealthy orders.
Anyway.
Very wealthy. Those are the orders if you're looking to...
from a financial stand.
If you want to ease into retirement. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our job is to help people maximize.
That is right.
Yeah.
Now
that life might be more. Rich
we've done some financial planning
anyway.
For priests. In fact, we did a workshop for priests not too long ago.
Anyway, we are out of time. The clock's flashing us, saying we need to shut up. So we're here every Saturday at the same time. Join us next week. You can also get a podcast at moneymatters.com. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McClain.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.